Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Every year on the 9th of September, we observe International Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Awareness Day. It's been done since 1999, the ninth day of the ninth month, 1999. Of course, that date chosen to highlight the 9 months of pregnancy and remind us that a pregnant woman should abstain from alcohol in order to avoid the development of fetal alcohol syndrome. Just a couple of stats by way of introduction to this segment. Globally, one in every 13 pregnancies where the fetus is exposed to alcohol in the prenatal state will result in some degree of FAS. There's a global prevalence of 8 per 1,000 children and youth in the general population. Those are figures updated in 2017. Here in South Africa, the extent of the problem is not entirely certain because information is scarce and not always reliable. We do know, though, in blanket terms, that we have one of the worst rates in the world, possibly the very worst of all. Some stats we look at point to Wellington as the most affected community that has the worst stats for FAS of any. A 2002 study revealed that more than one in 10 children in the Northern Cape community of Daar had fetal alcohol syndrome. Let that sink in. More than 10% of children born in that town suffered from some degree of FAS, and that gave Daar the unwanted label of possibly the highest reported rate in the world. Many reasons for this, among them an attribution that points to our historical drinking culture driven by the dorp system, where farm workers' wages were paid partly in alcohol. So today we thought we would zoom in on farming communities, and we're going to be speaking to two different NGOs which are both working in the sphere to try and address the problem of FAS and bring those shockingly high rates down. We'll be talking to Rebecca Mort, who's the coordinator of the Women's Health Rights Program at the NGO Women on Farms, and also to Francaile Williams, who runs a mentorship program for pregnant women in the Worcester community of Roodeville. She speaks on behalf of an NGO called Fast Facts. Let's begin with you, Rebecca. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Rebecca Mort is the coordinator of the Women's Health Rights Program at the NGO Women on Farms. Rebecca, thanks for your time and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
As I've said in the run-up, stats not always easy to come by, not always reliable, but can you give us a broad sense of how prevalent fetal alcohol syndrome is in farming communities in particular?
Yes, I mean, it's a challenge, and I think the challenges around statistics is also then around the ongoing access to medical support and medical services that also farm women, children, farming communities, farm dweller communities still struggle to reach, particularly some of the more specialist services that FAS children would need. That's also then another issue that we have to look at is regarding this right to health crisis in rural communities. But I think what we can look at in general is extremely high rates of a lot of different structural issues that contribute towards why women and people in general drink, and looking really there particularly at a lot of economic drivers, and then also looking at the high prevalence of unlicensed liquor stores in rural areas and liquor outlets. So from our work that we do on the ground at Women on Farms Project, we are capacitating women farm workers to know their rights, to know and understand the impact of drinking, but to understand what is their own health and their responsibility to health and their rights to health. And so what we are seeing is that with this increased capacitation of women, women farm workers, women farm dwellers, women in rural communities, women are able to also then encourage other women and intervene in cases where a woman is drinking while she is pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it's this sort of ongoing capacitation that will need to just happen continually. So long as these structural drivers persist, we're going to keep on needing to almost treat the symptoms, which is drinking. Mm-hmm. So I think there's definitely a positive impact, and I'm sure our partners at Fast Facts will also be able to speak to that doing ongoing support work with women. And these are with women and communities that are marginalized, that are forgotten, that are neglected, that are discriminated against when they are seeking health services, and particularly when it comes to reproductive and sexual health rights. So it's a myriad of factors playing in, but we do see that when women are capacitated and empowered to be able to take that sense of ownership over themselves, over their families, health, and where they are, be able to then take the lead on that, that it has an impact not just on themselves, but on their communities and on their farms, with their sisters, with their friends, with their colleagues, you know. So these are definitely some factors to consider. And I think, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's not work that we can just say, oh, it's sorted. And I think, yeah, so that's just the picture of it at the moment. But definitely there is a dearth of current statistics.
Rebecca, is part of the issue access to the very basic information about what alcohol can do to a fetus in utero? Is it possible that many women continue to drink through pregnancy because they simply have never been told that the outcome might be a child born with major difficulties who will need ongoing support right into their adult life?
I think women do know increasingly. I mean, we have seen cases where women do know and continue drinking, which is obviously very disturbing. I think there is increased knowledge around it. And I think then the question is, well, why would one continue drinking? And I think looking at the support services, women, I just want to, you know, sort of paint a portrait of a woman farm worker today who doesn't often have permanent work, who receives almost no secure income, has no secure living conditions. The idea of seeing, you know, of what that does to one's mental health and one's capacity there to exert agency over one's life when nothing is secure about your life, nothing is guaranteed, there is no also communal support when you have breakdown of communities. I mean, these are just some of the factors that really influence poor mental health conditions and the lack of access to counseling in rural areas. I mean, it's shocking. It's really, really shocking. The support networks that exist in urban areas compared to what is out there in rural areas, particularly on farms where women are particularly isolated or living in patriarchal cultures and communities, and drinking is a coping mechanism, and it's something that needs to be interrogated when there is no other healthy, positive recreational options there in rural areas, and when there are, you know, unlicensed taverns, shebeens, liquor outlets that are more prevalent, naturally people's coping mechanism will turn to alcohol then. And that's not... That's really to emphasize these are the really, really harsh conditions that women are living in, and that create a sense of hopelessness that is possible to break through communal organizing and activism and building women's sense of agency, that they are not alone and that they have a community that can tackle issues in their life combined. But when women are sort of isolated like this and pushed out into the margins and don't have this sort of support network, I think that is when we start seeing sort of these really extreme cases where women know what the consequences are, but continue doing so. And it's not with a lens of judgment that I'm saying this, it's just with a lens of these are this is the context, you know?
Thank you very much for painting that context for us. I'm going to bring in at this point our second guest, Francaile Williams, who is a mentor at FAS Facts, Fast Facts as they're called, who works specifically in a community outside Worcester called Roodeville. Francaile, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Rebecca's just painted a quite bleak picture of what the reality of life is like for many women in farming communities. Would you agree with what she said, that the situation they find themselves in, the lack of agency and control over their own lives, the lack of opportunities to find support, play into the ongoing prevalence of FAS?
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Hi, Rebecca. Yes, I agree with her, actually. I agree with her. I've been a mentor for the last 5 years representing FastFix in my community. Mm-hmm. And there is so much women that you see when you are interacting, you are busy connecting with the women in your communities. You see there is a lot of women that is really going through this drug and alcohol. They are using it, and some of them they abuse it, you see, and that's why the FAST program brings actually light into our communities, especially in the rural areas. So I agree with Rebecca, yes.
Tell us a little bit more about your program, Franca, and how you try to tackle this problem.
We have different kind of programs. For example, we have the BOP program at schools, where we are interacting with this youth at schools, and the primary as well as secondary. And then we have a pregnant program where we are busy taking the, like for example, where we are busy giving information to the pregnant moms to have healthy babies, to get healthy babies, and also look at their health while they are pregnant. And then we have the mentor programs for us as mentors to equip ourselves to go out and pour ourselves out in our communities. And then we have the other program, Train the Trainer program, yes, in the FAST awareness program in our communities.
Fonsel, yes. Given the prevalence of FAS, I would imagine it's not hard to find examples to show women to say, this is what potentially happens if you continue to drink through pregnancy. These are the kinds of challenges your baby may face. These are the kind of challenges you will face as a parent having to care for them if you don't stop. Does that help or hinder? Does it make your job harder that there are other people who've done this before? It's all around them. It's I don't want to say normalized, but it's part of the community and part of what they accept as part of life. Or does it help you to be able to say, look, that could be you, that could be your child, choose a different path?
Yes, indeed, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to go in. Actually, we are going into this into the community, you see, into the houses, and we see the different kind of circumstances that the women are actually staying in. And a lot of moms is in relationships where they are getting abused. And you see, in giving information towards this, the moms that is using alcohol, you see, really brings change in not everybody. We can give them the information, but we can't make them to make a change in their lives. But there were many success stories coming out of the information that we gave towards a pregnant moms while they were drinking. Some stopped and some really going to there's a house in Worcester called House of Hope, where they also getting clean out of the drugs, out of the alcohol, and where they getting their lives in shape, as well as their children's lives. So yeah, it's a task just that we are doing. It's a task, but you see, it's not really for me, né, as a mentor. It's not a job, but it's like freely flowing out of my heart to go the extra mile for a pregnant mom, so that I can see change in her life from the information from FastFix that they gave us. The change must take place in her life and for her to come out of that abusive relationships, you see. Yes.
Franzel, from what you've said, I hear a note of hope and a tone of feeling like you are making a difference. Are you seeing that reflected in the community around you? Do you feel like you are having an impact, that the case prevalence perhaps is dropping, or at least there has been a shift in attitude among women in particular?
Yes, definitely there has been a huge shift in my community, because I can see there's a lot of success, that stories of hope that is coming out of this program really brings light into our heart is mentors, and also in the hearts of the founder, Mr. Francois Gerobelaar of FastFix. You see, because the investments that we are doing into our community, in our communities, really brings a change. Even there can be 1,000 moms, you give them this information, and it depends on them to bring a change in their lives. You see, it's coming out of this abusive relationship or coming out of the alcohol and the drugs, you see. But there can be 1,000, but if there can only come 1 or 2 out of that 1,000, then there is really a difference taking place in our communities. So where there is a darkness, light is eventually coming out.
Francelle Williams, thank you for chatting to us, a mentor at Fast Facts, and their website, if you are looking for resources and more information about fetal alcohol syndrome, is fasfacts.org.za. Rebecca Mort of Women on Farms, I want to just wrap up the conversation coming back to you. I listened to that comment of Francelle's, that even if we only reach and make an impact on 1 woman in 1,000, that's one more than before. That's a big task. It might feel like shouting against thunder. Do you share her sense of light starting to break, of a sense of hope that this is a time that change is happening?
I do think that with the ongoing support that rural NGOs, community organizations, the work that we are doing with activists on the ground, community leaders, often women on the ground speaking with other women, it makes such a massive difference. And these are sort of the heroes of our communities that we should celebrate every day for every sort of support role that they hold in keeping communities together, ensuring healthier communities. And I think it's really massive. But I think what we shouldn't forget is that our country is big and rural areas are big and small towns are far apart. And access to these sort of really good support services are few and far between. And we really need more investment into our rural communities, that people can lead lives of dignity and that hope can also come in. Because at the end of the day, it shouldn't be up to NGOs trying to fight against the wind. We should have more investment into our communities, that people have secure homes, that people have secure jobs, that people can lead dignified lives, and also that our health services, that they are really there for the people and that they are not overstretched as they currently are, that women understand fully what the first 1,000 days means, that there is awareness around disability, that our educational services are fully equipped to deal with the vast variety of learning needs of our children. So I think we also, we are doing the best we can and we are making a massive difference. You know, women are making a massive difference, but that should not be an excuse then that these big structural changes that we need, they still need to happen. And we can't ignore the fact that these economic conditions, that the structure of our society and these historical conditions that need to be addressed still, we always need to keep fighting for that to change.
Well, Rebecca Mort, thank you to you and your team for the huge role you're playing as well in that fight. Rebecca is coordinator of the Women's Health Rights Program at the NGO Women on Farms. Bronwyn's saying it is amazing. Listening to this interview is really awe-inspiring. I second that, Bronwyn. Thank you and congratulations to both of you on the work already done. It's a long uphill battle still to be fought, but very hope-filling kind of conversation to hear the effort that is happening on the ground.